Welcome to Happy Healthy Unalaska. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I'm Lauren Adams of KUCB, and I'm here with the USAFE staff, and I'll ask them to introduce themselves.
Hi, this is Emlyn Crane. I'm the Executive Director of USAFE.
Hello, I'm Rose Sevilla, Program Services Advocate.
Hi, this is Jocelyn Hernandez. I am the Program Services Coordinator.
My name is Belty Colborne. I'm the Rural Immigrant Victim Advocate.
Great. And would one of you be able to tell me a little bit about what USAFE is and what services USAFE provides?
Well, USAFE, or Unalaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence, is a nonprofit organization that serves as a shelter to women and children who are victims of domestic violence. We also provide legal advocacy, crisis intervention. We also serve as the unofficial food bank of Unalaska, as well as helping people apply for services.
In addition to the services Rose mentioned, we also can help people who may be homeless or living on the edge of homelessness, and our crisis line is available 24 hours also.
And with October being Domestic Violence Awareness Month, could you tell us what domestic violence is and some of the kinds of abuse that you see?
And this is an interesting question because the way the criminal justice system defines domestic violence is different from the way we define it. I think when people think about domestic violence, they're thinking about physical abuse. They're thinking about seeing usually a woman with a black eye or bruising. But domestic violence can take on, there's a lot of different behaviors. There's the physical abuse, obviously, but there's also emotional abuse, sexual abuse, spiritual abuse, social abuse. It can involve anything from isolating someone from their family and friends, controlling all the money in the household, denigrating someone's spiritual beliefs, sabotaging someone's attempts to be in recovery if they have a substance abuse issue, deprivation of food or sleep or other basic needs, constantly checking up on someone all the time via text or phone call, stalking. I mean, there are a lot of behaviors that one person can use in order to gain power and control over another person.
Emotional, psychological, financial abuse as well.
It can also include reproductive abuse. So a reproductive, it's also an abuse to impregnate somebody without the other person's consent. It should be consensual.
Refusal to wear a condom, taking a condom off in the middle of a sexual encounter when someone has agreed that they'll wear a condom, that is another form of abuse.
Lynn, could you go a little deeper into what the legal definition of domestic violence is?
In Alaska, generally, domestic violence is charged as an assault in the fourth degree or an assault in the third degree. And it has to do with whether a person causes a physical injury to another person or causes a puts them in fear of an imminent physical injury. And it can be not necessarily a boyfriend or girlfriend or a spouse. It could also be another family member. It could be a child. It could be even a roommate. And the reason the law was changed to include roommates, one of the factors was because it gave the police a way to arrest people that were committing domestic violence against their same-sex partners, even when the law wasn't recognizing those relationships. So it is a little bit different from the way USAFE defines it or the way an advocate would define it. It is more on the physical or immediate threat of danger.
Tell me more about domestic violence in Unalaska. Are you seeing increases, decreases, or are your numbers staying about the same?
Well, I didn't bring any stats with me today. We had a period of steadily rising shelter nights for about the last 3 or 4 years, and then last year we had fewer shelter nights. I think it's just a cyclical issue. I think public safety's numbers were also down a little bit from previous years, but we know that there is no community that is safe from domestic violence or sexual assault or child abuse or any of these issues. So we're still quite busy working with non-residential program participants and providing services that we hope are helping people make decisions and choices about how to stay safe maybe before they need to come to the shelter.
Are there certain groups of people that face special barriers to seeking services?
Certainly LGBTQ, your religious background, your cultural background plays into it, your immigration status, and also men.
So how do you get past the barriers in order to try to reach more of the population?
Usually a lot of the people that's immigrant to the community, they will not come forward because of their immigration status. A lot of them are new here. They don't have family. They don't have a financial way of getting out in an abusive relationship. So USAVE actually provides support to the immigrant community. And USAVE actually taps into other organizations, and they can provide legal services to immigrants that are undergoing through domestic violence situation.
We want to make it clear to everyone that USAVE provides services to everyone, regardless of your immigration status. We do not care if you are documented, undocumented, where you are in your process. We are here for everyone, regardless of their status.
Did you have anything else on barriers, some of the other categories that you mentioned?
Cultural barriers, like, for instance, a language barrier. They're afraid that they can't seek help in the community because they can't speak the English language. We actually have a language line. We also have different advocates who speak a second language. So those barriers that they think stops them from seeking help in these situations, we can help them with that.
Great. While we're on this, I think one of the things that came up when we were recording this month's PSAs was confidentiality, which I think would also be a barrier here in a small community. Yeah. And I thought that that was a really enlightening PSA and thought that maybe you guys could mention that as well.
Well, as advocates, we're bound by strict confidentiality. It's actually, it's illegal for us to talk about anything that we see or hear with regard to our program participants. There are very few exceptions to that, and those have to do with abuse or neglect of a child or a vulnerable adult, and also if there is a situation that is so immediately dangerous that we feel that we have no choice, we believe that we have no choice but to call law enforcement. So everything, we are bound by strict confidentiality, and the only exceptions are those I mentioned. Other than that, we have to have someone's written consent in order to share any information about their situation. And, you know, no, we are in a small town. I understand confidentiality is an issue for anybody seeking any kind of services, whether it be, you know, going to the clinic or seeking mental health care or coming to USAVE. But I think we really do a good job of abiding by confidentiality, and what happens at USAVE stays at USAVE.
Can I add on one thing on that one? Another thing that's a barrier for these people to come forward, people that's undergoing domestic violence, is shame. They don't want the community to know that they are having problems in their family. And that is a big problem on the immigrant community, because a lot of culturally, family comes first. And you need to make sure that your family is intact. A lot of the immigrants and, well, basically everybody thinks the same way.
True. What are some other misconceptions about USAVE and seeking help when you need it?
Some people believe that we promote divorce or that we make decisions for people who seek services from us. Actually, it's we help people the way they want it to be helped. It's program participant directive, whatever they want or whatever help they're seeking, we try our best to do what they want in a situation.
And I think people also think that, you know, that we're therapists or attorneys, which we're not. We don't provide therapy. We provide advocacy and support. And quite frankly, I don't think that most people that are experiencing domestic violence need therapy. They need to be safe. We're not attorneys, but we can provide legal advocacy up to an extent, and we can try to help people get legal assistance if they need it. I think people think that we hate men or we don't provide services to men. That's not true. We can't provide the exact same services to men because our shelter is so small, so we are unable to house men there. But if men are in danger in their homes, we will try to help them find safe housing.
And on that note, we did just record a public service announcement about domestic violence and men. It did, and it sounded like you guys have resources, and that's another portion of the community to be happy to provide information to. And is there anything else on that you'd like to say?
Everyone can be a victim, so it's not power and control is a main factor in violence, and people are susceptible. It can be any race, gender, religion. Mm-hmm.
And the door at USAFE is open and you...
Yes, we are. We're here to serve everybody who is in need. And we try to help them.
Great. Would you be able to kind of comment on what some of the causes for domestic violence that you've seen or you're aware of?
So it's mostly lack of respect. As I mentioned earlier, it's about power and control. Some people's belief system, their frame of reference or their frame of belief that one person is in control of a family unit and what they say goes, is sort of a power struggle because it involves controlling people in your family to do and act and behave the way you want them to. And some people believe that alcohol plays a factor in domestic violence. It does not. It's not what causes the violence.
It's definitely, as Rose said, it's a correlation. There's often domestic violence incidents. There may be either a perpetrator or a victim who is intoxicated in some way. It is not a cause. It is a correlation. It does make situations more dangerous, but having a substance abuse issue or being drunk does not cause you to be a violent person. Yeah. I think, in general, patriarchy, although we've, of course, acknowledged that men can be victims and women can be abusers, there is we do live in a patriarchal culture that has for many years said that men are in charge at home. And I think that for a long time, a lot of men have chosen to enforce that using power and control tactics. And so, hopefully I think we're getting away from that.
Yes. We had a PSA also stating that in just the past 30 years wherein marital rape was considered legal. So controlling someone based on giving you sexual favors is a topic that correlates with sexual abuse and domestic violence.
Yeah, I heard that and was really, really surprised by that. It was one of the ones that gave me chills and listened to the messages you produced this month for domestic violence awareness. Really shocking information. Why do you think people stay in abusive relationships?
Well, there are many factors that keep people in these relationships. Of course, out here, housing can be a big one. Financial reasons, your kids. You think about your children first before you think about yourself, your religion. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into this. But honestly, it comes down to a lot of the times that it's not so black and white. This could be a horrible person, but you care for them, you love them, you've seen them at their best, and it's not that you want them to change or anything, but you want them to be better. You want this to stop so you can have a healthy, good relationship. But sometimes that's not possible. And so while there are factors that are like housing and financial, it's also your feelings that come into consideration as well.
The fact is that people do leave. People do successfully leave relationships that are unsafe. It takes someone an average of 7 to 8 times to leave an abusive relationship. It is a process. It's not an event. And that's because of all the things that Jocelyn just mentioned. It has to do with hope and love, because you know this person's loving side, the side you fell in love with, the things that made you want to share your life with this person, and you want that to come back. Often a victim may not want the relationship to end, but she may want the violence to stop. And it's also about fear. There are about more than 1,500 women killed in this country every year by current or former husbands or boyfriends. And 75% of those murders happen after the woman has taken steps to leave the relationship. So sometimes it's just about fear. She's been told that if she leaves, he'll kill her, he'll kill the kids, he'll kill himself. And so she stays because of fear. And that's one thing that USAFE can do, is to help people plan to leave safely and smartly. It's not up to us what someone's timeline is. We're here for people, whether they decide to leave in one fell swoop or whether they want to plan things over a long period of time. If they go back multiple times, they can still contact USAFE anytime.
Can anyone be an abuser?
Domestic violence doesn't categorize like male or female. It can be anybody, no matter your race, no matter your background of any sort. It's just that lack of respect. for another individual?
It's mostly about how you process anger, how you think of control and power. So anybody who has issues about wanting to control somebody can be an abuser. So it's a big difference between anger and control. People can have anger management issues, but it doesn't mean that they're an abuser. Anger management, you're angry at anybody, anywhere, anything that triggers you. But an abuser is someone who pinpoints somebody they want to control.
Yes, and they choose where and when and how to enact their anger. So when we talk about abusers going to anger management, you know, that's not going to help them because they're already managing their anger because they're choosing where to use it, who to use it against, what it looks like. You know, there are people who hit their partners in certain places so it'll hide the abuse. It'll hide the bruises. That's anger management right there. That person is managing their anger. I think anyone, as Jocelyn said, can be an abuser, both men and women. I think men do tend to use more physical abuse because they, in general, are larger. But, you know, women often use things like stalking, using technology to try to track their partner, blowing up somebody's phone, that kind of thing. But anybody can use tactics of power and control. It can be anyone. Generally, women are in more danger of serious physical injury and death. So that's why it's important that, you know, women have safe places to go. But everyone, men, women, everyone deserves to be safe in their relationships.
How does living in a home with domestic violence impact children?
Studies show that children who are exposed to violence at home have issues such as unable to feel safe outside the community. They'll have health issues. A study by the Center of Disease Control, the ACEs study, supports this, that adverse childhood experiences affects your health, your mental status, ways of coping. So it does affect a child, not just for the present, but in the long run.
Not everyone who lives in a home where there's domestic violence will grow up to be a victim or an abuser. I don't want to make that statement. But the fact is that when you grow up with something that feels normal to you, when you enter into a dating relationship or a family relationship, you may reenact that because it does feel it feels familiar. If you've learned that violence is a way to solve problems, that one person in the house has the right to control all the shots, you might be more likely to stay with an abusive partner or to use power and control tactics against your own partner because that's what you've learned. People hear about post-traumatic stress disorder, and we often associate that with people who are in the military or people who are first responders to, you know, scenes of horrible accidents. But living in a home with domestic violence can cause PTSD, not only in the adult victims, but also in the children, because there's so much chaos, there's so much uncertainty. For very young children, infants and toddlers, there are documented studies that show that living in a home with that kind of chaos, even when they're not being physically abused themselves, can change the way their brains develop. And we know from other studies that that kind of trauma that changes your DNA actually gets passed down for generations. So it's something that goes on, you know, can go on forever if we don't learn a different way, if we don't make safe places for people to go, if we don't talk about this stuff and teach people how to communicate in relationships, how to fight fairly and safely. I mean, it's so damaging, and it's damaging to not just families, but entire communities.
If this resonates to people who are listening, I mean, what do you want the takeaway to be when people hear this message and it connects with them? Is that where you would want them to call and get more information, or what are some other ways to respond if you're listening to this and it resonates with you?
I mean, for me, I would really want people to know that domestic violence can happen to anyone, regardless of any identifying factor. It can happen to anybody in this room. It can happen to your family, your parents, siblings, anybody. And nobody really knows what happens in relationships. Nobody knows what happens behind closed doors. So USAFE is there to help you through any of this. You know, we're here for support.
a lot of people experience is what we call the cycle of violence, which is where there is an incident of violence, and then there's sort of a cooling off period. The people might even separate, or their relation, they may not live together for a while. But then there's what's called a honeymoon period, where there's a lot of promises for it never to happen again, and they both want to get back on track, and they want to make everything better. But then the tension starts building again. There's another incident of violence, and that's called the cycle of violence. Not every person experiences that way. You know, we've had people that say, well, I never had the honeymoon period where things got better. It was just bad all the way. But as Jocelyn said, it can happen to anyone. We shouldn't assume that we know what someone is like in their home with their families just because they seem like a great guy or a great gal out in the world, because, as she said, no one knows what happens behind closed doors.
There is no shame in coming forward when you experience domestic violence. Just know that in this community, there's a place for you to go, and that there's people that will be there to give you support. And I would like, you know, everybody to understand better that domestic violence does not only fall under a marriage. Right. It can be boyfriend, girlfriend, teenagers having relationships together. If you or your friend, or if you have any concern about a friend or a fellow, you know, person that you know that you think is undergoing through domestic violence, and you don't have to be sure about it, that there is violence or they are being abused, you can give USAVE a call, and we can talk about it, and we can plan from there.
For people who aren't familiar with USAVE and have maybe never seen the shelter, could you give a little walkthrough, an audio walkthrough of what you have and what your resources are and what the space looks like?
We do have a shelter. It's a small one-bedroom shelter. It has a bunk bed and then another bed that has a trundle bed underneath, and we have a trundle bed in our living room also. We do ask people if it's not an emergency situation that they call before they come by, because we do sometimes have to control who's coming in and out, but we're almost always there between 9 and 5 during the week, and our line is available anytime, 581-1500. We do have a lot of books and pamphlets and resources, educational resources. We help people out with food. And, you know, your tax dollars do support this agency, and we're very, very fortunate that our community supports us to the level it does. So if you'd like to see the shelter, we'd encourage you to call us at 581-1500.
Also, USAVE have a satellite office at the Dutch Harbor Mall, where it's Suite 214. It's a small office, but that's where my office is at. So, if you don't want to go to the big office where everybody can see you and you're scared that people can tell that you went to USAVE, you can stop by my office. It's more quiet. The place is quiet, and there's very few people that works on that side. Well, I'm in and out most of the time because I usually work with immigrants, so I go to the UNIC and talk to people and stuff like that. But if you call the crisis line, they can give me a call, and I can be at the office as soon as you want me to be there. We can meet there.
Okay. In closing, is there anything else that any of you would like to add to the conversation?
Just USAVE is here. We have that crisis line 24/7, 581-1500. We're always looking for volunteers. So crisis line volunteers, shelter volunteers, just give us a call if you have any questions regarding domestic violence, having crisis or sexual assault or anything. I mean, having time off to just like be a better you. We can give you guys some pointers there as well.
Well, it actually was something I was thinking about is since I've had kids, I've realized just how hard it is to parent and frustrating. You know, it's a different side of the conversation. It's like, how do you not cross that line when kids can be really hard?
Yes, we have one of our programs is preventative measures. If you can't take care of yourself, 5 protective factors, how can you be a good individual to provide the wholesome, loving care that you would like to provide?
Excellent. I think we could all use some of that.
And we do have lots and lots of books on parenting and healthy relationships and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I like to give people my opinions on their parenting all the time, and they just absolutely love it. So, no. But we do have a lot of good resources about parenting, and we have books for young kids about, like, good and bad touch. We have books about, for kids that are hitting puberty, about their bodies. We have books anger management workbooks for teenagers. We have books about substance abuse, books about developmental stages for babies. I mean, we have a really great library. And as I said before, you know, the shelter belongs to the community. Whether you live here, whether you're here working temporarily, you know, you are a part of our community. And we would enjoy having you come by and see the shelter. We do just ask that you call first, 581-1500.
This has been Happy Healthy Unalaska, a joint production of KUCB and USAFE. Happy Healthy Unalaska is produced every month right here in Unalaska, and this month we recognized Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I'm Lauren Adams of KUCB, and it was my honor to host USAFE staff members M. Lynn Crane, Rose Sevilla, Jocelyn Hernandez, and Belty Colburn. As a longtime resident of Unalaska, I'm consistently impressed by the knowledge and professionalism of USAFE staff, and I appreciate the services that they provide in our community. You can learn more about Unalaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence by looking them up on Facebook, attending a USAFE outreach event, or give them a call directly at 581-1500. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in November for another episode of Happy Healthy Unalaska on KUCB Radio.